Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for round 12, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name's Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been very disappointed by the mid-season draft. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junktimers, as we pretty much reach the halfway point of the season. I sit here dejected once again, Junktimers. So Wednesday night, obviously the mid-season draft, I sat down with Mum and Dad and... For I don't know what would it be the 31st time in a row my name was not called out at the draft table. And I'll tell you what, Michael, I'm thinking of pulling the pin.
I want to kind of stop you there. Like, I know after 31 rejections, I mean, if there's anyone knows about being rejected, it's you, Adam Rosenbarks. But the thing I like about you, even it's 31 times in a row, annually... Yeah. And not even like an apology, not even a little, you know, a little, okay, we'll get to you next year. Oh, we were just going to pick you up. But you get radio silence from the clubs.
None of them got in contact with me. How disgusting is that? Out of 18 clubs, not one gives me a phone call to let me know I'm not being picked up.
Yep, sure. You wore your best Ed Hardy t-shirt in case the camera showed up on the front steps at Mum and Dad's. And, you know, you had to kind of give a speech. And it would have been a nice little speech to give to be on camera and not have to be, like, running from the cameras or holding your jacket over your face.
Yep. You know, I was ready to wear an ill-fitting polo. I'd bought all 18 in case they wanted to do a cross to me on Fox Footy. Turns out wasn't broadcast on Fox Footy, but that's not the point. So if anyone needs a team polo, I have all 18 ready for sale.
But I reckon
I've given up.
I reckon you keep going. I reckon you keep going because I've been monitoring your KPIs over the year, and Look, not improving, but not getting drastically bad. You haven't fallen off a cliff, okay?
Can I just say, and I would put there, you know, there's sometimes you think like, oh, maybe I'm average at, you know, kicking left foot, right foot, all that kind of stuff. But my snipes per game are elite and have been ever since I was a junior. Like my ability, when someone's on the bottom of a pack, to just fucking give a little rabbit punch into the back of the head. There is no one else going around. And I, you know what, the good thing that I do, Michael, is when I practice, I make sure that I have at least 400 cameras set up around any suburban footy ground that I practice on. Very expensive way to go about it.
Yep.
And if you can see me hitting someone on that field with that amount of CCTV coverage... You won't see it, mate. I'm a fucking magician.
I was about to say that. Like, your sleight of hand is amazing. Like, you kind of go in, you rake the eyes, the player immediately appeals, rake my eye, umpire goes, get up, stop faking, I didn't see anything. Just another one in your little kit bag there.
I mean, I look at someone like Dane Zorko and I go, what are you doing, mate? You can fucking see that from one camera angle. I've got 12 trained on me. You don't even know. It looks like I've got my hands in my pockets.
You are so good at it. Like, you do the Toby Green bumping the umpire from behind, right? Or just walking past him. The umpire doesn't even see it himself. He feels something and he goes, what was that? But you're gone already. That's how good you are.
I'm out of there, No one else has electrified their boots so their studs are like jiggers. So when you go up and just touch them against someone's calf, they can't play out the rest of the game. No one else has that ability.
And I tell you what, mate, your hand skills are extraordinary. There's no there's no one who takes a brown paper bag under the table better than you.
I thought you were going to talk about my elite squirrel gripping.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I mean, that's one thing I admire about you. You can take a brown paper bag and do a squirrel grip in left hand, right hand. No one knows. We go, what size is best side?
Mate, you can't tell whether I favour the left testicle or the right testicle. I am ambidextrous when it comes to grabbing a man's testicles.
Dude, you'll be on their right and you'll grab their left. And you go, mate, that kind of reach. You know, you can't buy that stuff.
Yeah, you don't see that on Fox Footy in the lab. You know, the number of reach arounds per game.
You know, actually watching a clip this week, I do, you know, commiserate with you. Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm your player manager. I'm your agent.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that explains
actually,
a lot more.
Now I feel like I might be part of the problem by the fact I do send a lot of letters to clubs demanding a lot of things before we get to that stage. But I saw a clip on Twitter today, and it was just the compile of, like, Gary Ablett being a dog act. And it was a compile of about 10 or 15. I was like, yeah, like, that's fucked up, a lot of the stuff that he did. I know it was the time. It was the era.
He loved an elbow more than you ever thought about with Gary Ablett.
There was a whole bunch of... okay,
this is senior, by the way.
Yeah,
not
sorry,
junior.
Yeah. I mean,
junior
but we have repeatedly said that Junior was the biggest sniper. So, like, father, like son, I suppose. Actually, probably maybe Junior taught it to Senior. he's three. He's like, Dad, that's not how you do it. Fucking elbow the cunt in the head. He did, well, at least from this clip, he did like a lot of, you're going to mark the ball 5 metres in the clear and I'm just going to take you out full speed.
From behind and crunch into your spine.
But, you know, different time, Adam, different time.
Yeah, it was a bit more fun. So what was your take on the AFL mid-season draft, which did happen last Wednesday night? There was only 13 of a possible, 15 teams had picks. Or were eligible to have picks, because basically you have to have someone on the long-term injury list or someone must have retired before the end of the season. GWS were on there twice and didn't pick at all.
Okay.
So there was only 13 players taken.
I did like the social media clips of you know, the young players kind of getting told by their... I saw a couple of them, they were at training, and their team got around them, as the team should.
Well, so they should initially. The team should get around them and just be like, hey... You're fucking shout because you are just on an AFL contract right
now. I was about
to
say, hey, mate, you just became, like, I imagine you're on a rookie contract. You just became about 90, 100 grand richer immediately. We're not paying for dinner at the pub after training.
yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of talk that it's kind of a little bit of a waste, the mid-season draft. It doesn't really. There's not that many players that have kicked on. I suppose Marlon Pickett is the big one. John Noble, John Newcomb and Hawthorne have kicked on. So there's been a few that have done okay. But in terms of, you know, how many players get taken, not a lot of them seem to stay on the list and are able to, you know, carve out a career. So they want to try and, you know, there's all the talk about mid-season trading.
Trade. Yeah, well, let me have a run past you, like, and question without notice. But do you think maybe the mid-season draft, well, it can be two things. It can be like, okay, we had an eye on this player for a while. We were a bit unsure about him. He's had a good first year in the VFL, maybe. Okay, let's roll the dice. Or is it maybe, okay, we've had two ruckmen go down. We know this bloke can at least, you know, hold a ball, let's, you know, a bit of role-playing kind of stuff and go, we're not going to keep him for 5 years, but he can at least fill a
so
hole.
You just get them for the rest of that season?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the detail. Do you immediately need to sign them on for like that two-year deal like they do in the draft? Or can you just kind of be like, okay, you fill our role and then, you know, thank you for your help.
So maybe the mid-season trading should be, right? So, okay, so they want equalisation in the AFL and you get that. So at the start of the season, each team lists their top three players, right? And then when you get to the mid-season draft, like, say, at the moment, West Coast Eagles, they start at Collingwood and they get to pick whoever they want out of Collingwood's top three.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, I thought you were going to go, like, the top three are off the books. I'm like, no, what's more
fun?
Yeah, what's more fun?
The reason that you got to number one is the reason it's going to cost you.
Yeah, a team flying, like they're, you know, well, Collingwood are 11-1, they're basically flying.
Yep.
And you just go, okay, I'm going to take your best player. And then Team 17 comes along and goes, okay, I'm going to take your second best player. And they
see, 17 would take Port Adelaide, I would say. So it's more closer to equal. So you only get one. But that not to say that Collingwood can't then after all that's said and done, they still get a pick, and they get to pick the best of the West Coast Eagles lineup.
Okay, gotcha. So that guy who's on crutches in a iron lung.
Yes.
And in a wing at a
hospital.
No,
but they've nominated him at the start of the season, so he can't get out of it then.
Okay, yep, sure. No, it's working out well. I actually am not offended by mid-year trading. Like, I mean, you're a bit more of an American fan. You were saying NFL do it, but also NFL just, like, they don't care. So they...
It's a free-for-all. No one, there's no loyalty to any clubs. Teams just move to try and help, you know, win a flag. But, okay, so if you're okay with, say, mid-season trading, so say Jordan Ngoi, say he wasn't suspended, he popped his shoulder and is out for 3 months. Uh-huh. Do you think it's right that they could potentially pick up, like, say, Luke Davies-Uniacke from North Melbourne? Like, Collingwood could have access. And they go, we'll give you, you know, the first round draft picks to cover it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a freebie, mm-hmm. but North basically make a top team even stronger.
Okay.
Discuss.
So they go... And I imagine the lure will be that the North Pole would be like, well, I'm walking into pretty much a premiership favourite team.
Yeah, 100%. So he's happy to go mid-season.
I can snag one. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the arguments of, like, about restraint of trade and all that kind of stuff. Like, well, they're on contracts, I suppose. But I actually, I don't know. In reality, we're not going to be dealing with the big cheeses unless they've had massive falling outs with the club and they don't want to wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I don't really mind it. But having said that, I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. So people could set me straight very easily if they need be.
I don't like it. I do like the one thing that I love about AFL is I love the loyalty that you get with a player who wants to play for one team unless he can get a shit ton more money at another team and, you know, moves because he wants to improve his life, i.e. Tom Lynch, Dion Prestia.
Actually, I find it interesting, actually. Like, if I hark my mind back to Russell Green, Hawthorn and St Kilda legend.
Yep.
So, this is back in the day. I think they were being cleared to clubs at the time. So, I think it was another player went to Hawthorn along with Russell Green, I think. And then maybe one went to St Kilda. I'm not totally sure. But it was so kind of quick that, if I remember correctly, Russell Green, as a Hawthorn player, showed up to the Hawthorn game. An opposition player saw him and said, oh, no, dude, you rocked up to the wrong ground. Like, you know, St Kilda's playing at Moorabbin today. Like, it was that kind of quicker
transition. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was kind of that quicker transition. And so I'm trying to work out...
Like clearance?
How was that allowed back then? And wasn't it Silvio Fasciini?
Fasciini.
Yeah,
yes,
went to
in
court
about 82 or 83.
Didn't he go from, like, Essendon to South or maybe South to Essendon or something? Or maybe... I don't know.
I think you might be right. And also, didn't he go, it was a restraint of trade to not allow him to do that?
Maybe. There's a little segment on Junk Time called Michael and Adam Remember History Poorly.
I'll tell you what I would love. I'd love a mid-season trading with coaching.
Oh, dude. Awesome. And then, there'd be a few left out in the dark then. Yeah, okay.
Well, I was going to say, it's hard for people. Some some coaches may not end up with landing spots. But if right now, if Carlton could give up next year's first round draft pick and then like a player, we got, say, Craig McRae into the club, I reckon I would be quite happy with that.
Yeah, sure. Are you concerned, Adam? Are the wheels off? Are the wheels off at Carlton? You start out
Mate,
with
the
such
wheels
hope.
Are off.
You had such hope.
Mate, we're on fire like a fucking Tesla.
Now you got that board kind of kerfuffle. Board member quit. They had an argument. You know, there's one guy who's the former CEO of a company that was fucking... someone's talking to me... Oh, no, I won't get into that. But,
Mate, you tell me 200 things that PwC have done wrong. Exactly. You can't. So leave that. You know what? Him being from PwC and then landing at Carlton, there's nothing more perfect. There's nothing more perfect than anything I've ever heard.
Well, I tell you what, PwC would have been set straight if the person they did offer that partnership to actually took the job would have been above forward and...
All right, let's move on to Jordan Ngoi and the West Coast Eagles. So did you see the West Coast Eagles? So Jordan Ngoi... ironed out Elijah Hewitt, rookie for the Eagles, and he's probably facing, you would imagine, probably 4 weeks.
3 to 4,
I
yeah.
would think.
Yeah.
But the West Coast Eagles have had to apologise because they put up on their Instagram, they put the hit up, and they wrote underneath it, the caption was, straight to the tribunal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Now, and so they've had to come out and say, hey, sorry, you know, our social media team needs to be better. Now, I want to know why. Like, they're just having a bit of a go. It's fucking absolute truth.
Yeah,
Dom Sheed came out and said that Dugowie should have 1 or 2 months off. Yeah. So he's fucking lost his mind.
So that was way before they actually he went straight. Was that like during the game?
Yeah, if not during the game, then straight after.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Can I don't know. This is a controversial take. I didn't think it was that bad. Like, for all the, I mean, maybe it's Collingwood, maybe it's Dugowie. The media like that kind of stuff. But I don't quite understand the brouhaha over a hit like this when I kind of go, I mean, it wasn't like a Cozy Pickett where he, like, you know, was a human dart. Like, and I watched the footage a few times and he jumps very, he's off his feet very light.
He does leave the ground and he does get, you've softened, Michael. The old Michael would have said that to go, he didn't go hard enough.
I'm surprised. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm surprised by the kerfuffle about it all because I generally don't think it's like, you know, a hanging crime.
No, Nathan Buckley's kind of pushed it. It was a bit more of a football action. It maybe obviously got him high, but it wasn't malice or anything like malicious. Sorry, or anything like that. But the one thing that I reckon Collingwood would worry about is, do you want Jordan Dugowie with 5 weeks on his
hands. On his hands?
Like, you know, we've seen what the guy can do in 10 days
Bali. Sure. So he gets suspended. He walks out of the tribunal. he's already got the Webjet app open on his phone.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, already open, mate. He's already booked his flights. He knows that he's getting 4 weeks off, plus the bye. Yep. So it is going to be an extra week
and
for
him. And he's there going, okay, how do I tell Craig McRae I'm going to Bali? Okay, so I said my aunt passed away. I had to go to a funeral for her in Bali. My grandma, okay, I've got to work through my friend. Who have I made up has passed away so I can go to a funeral in Bali?
Well, see, I would say, though, like,
by
Bali's,
the way, coach,
you know,
don't feel bad if I, like, call you, you know, crazy at 3 a.m. Bali time by the fact that they're very traditional ceremonies. We, you know, we take them very seriously. They're spiritual. And we might say some stuff like, I'm off my head with grief. With grief.
With grief. With grief. I'm pinging here with sadness. I'm pinging with sadness.
Yep.
Is what I mean. But see with 5 weeks though, this is the party tour. Like this is Europe, you know. This is he's got himself a decent holiday. He doesn't need to go to Bali. This is like, you know, Mexico and the Caribbean. You know, there's so much more he can see. And he will come
Ibiza.
Back.
Ibiza, right then.
It would be better for him.
Yeah, definitely. Jump on the plane with Ibiza. I mean, didn't Dimmer Hardwick say in his retirement speech that, like, Dusty said, go to Ibiza?
Yep.
And I reckon even Dusty was like, dude, I'm still playing. I'll fucking come with you. I'll come with you. I'll fly back. I'll play. I'll come back over again.
Well, Damien Hardwick, he posted a photo of himself in a bar in Denver on the weekend. He's watching the Tigers versus the Giants. So can you imagine him when he gets to the States? He's in the home of the Aganja. And
I actually wondered what took him to Denver. Like, what was the actual thing? And then, of course, obviously, it just dawned on me. Like, they were one of the first to legalize it, weren't they? And so Dimmer's like, bloody hell, I'm sick and tired of this fucking medicinal shit that you gotta, you know, put a drop under your tongue. You know, you get to do like that once, you know, three times a day. I am gonna go to the US. And I'm going to say, fuck everything.
And give me all the brown shit, please.
Because actually he's got enough money, too. He could just walk into a shop and go, I'll have that. And I'll be like, oh, just that bag. He's like, no, like that is in the whole shop.
All of that, yeah. Give it to me all and I'll see you in a week. Can you imagine? So he lands in Denver and, you know, he tweeted last week himself watching the Port Adelaide-Richmond game. He had a beer open at 10:07 in the morning when he tweeted it. He Can you imagine him sitting there? You know, he's had the beer at 10 in the morning. He's over in Denver now on the Gunge. Mm. And Howie would have just been going, why the fuck did I stick it out for this long?
Dude, I think the relief when you actually admit to yourself, like, it's over, or not you're all over.
All of it.
But, like, I can't do this anymore. The relief, yes, over you. Even I remember years ago, like, there was a show, I think it was working on Before the Game, and a coach had got sacked. And they'd been under the pump for like a month, like, you know, that kind of, yeah, that hounding, like that, just absolute, yes, hounding, yeah, in those final weeks. And when he actually got the tap on the shoulder and they said, yeah, we can't go on, like, he just said, just the idea I could just go home and just not think about game plans or watch tape or just like fucking live like a fucking normal human, you know, just like,
it,
dude,
would be fucking delightful. Yeah. He would just be reveling in it. And, you know, he gets to watch the game on the weekend. The Tigers win by a goal. You, yep, know, Pickett kicks the goal late. And he's just sitting there baked off his head in, yeah, a bar in Denver, just fucking loving it.
Fucking watching, like, half-baked.
And telling everyone in the bar, mate, I used to coach that team. And they're like, yeah, yeah, fucking, that guy's blazed,
yeah, whatever,
everybody.
Mate. Yeah, good on you. Good on sure you, Bob, you are, Marley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man, reefer madness. No, seriously, I got like three premiers. I've won three Super Bowls with that team. Yeah, whatever, mate. Okay, yeah, it's for, right, your mate, for your glaucoma, mate. Yeah, whatever.
Enjoy your brownie, buddy. all right, before we get to the footballers in real life, there were some fantastic efforts on the weekend. I want to give a big shout-out to North Melbourne, who ran Essendon to within an inch of their life.
Yep.
And they've gone, actually, quite well since Rats has sort of taken over from Clarko. But I reckon the big one, the Gold Coast Suns. So they are sitting, they're kind of equal eighth on six wins.
Mm.
They've had a huge win this week. They had a huge win last week, both of them in Darwin. They've made it a fortress. Michael, is this the year we see the Gold Coast Suns in the finals?
Oh, that is a very good question, Adam Rose.
Thank
Marks.
You. Mm.
No, you fucking idiots, the Gold Coast Suns. Football's in real life?
Yeah, hit me.
From Christopher. G'day, guys. Back in December, a few mates and I went on a night out in Richmond. Well, you know what they're going to have? They're gonna have a few froths, eh? A few froths.
Yeah. Eh? Oh, why wouldn't you, mate?
Hey, they walk past kind of Dimmock and they're going, hey, man, peace and love, peace and love. Went out for a night in Richmond. After grabbing drinks and making our way to the dance floor, I noticed the familiar face of Matt Kennedy walk past me. We went a little further and met. And were met by a few giants towering over everyone. With his back to me was Harry Mackay. In front of him was Tom De Koning, and to my right was none other than the current Brownlow medalist, Patrick Cripps.
There you go.
Also present were Paddy Dow, this is a Trevor Trove, Nick Newman, Alex Murkov, and I believe Sam Durden. As a lifelong blue bagger, I was quite awestruck at what was I was experiencing. My mates and I thought it must have been Cripper's Bucks as he got married a couple of weeks later. Oh, okay. Putting the digits together. The night was, yeah, capped off when I got a high five from a quite intoxicated TDK, plus Kennedy having a quite intense conversation with Cripper. Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
I'm reading a bit of Trouble in Paradise. Like, maybe he's a bit like, yeah, mate, it's a big commitment, mate. Are you ready?
Yeah. Harry Mackay went to walk to the toilets and just completely missed and ended up in the beer garden.
From Liam, we were getting breakfast at a bakery in Sandringham and I found myself to be in the line behind St Kilda, Adelaide and North legend Tom Lynch, who was frantically trying to handle three kids under probably 8 years old. Oh, yeah, need a lot of hands. Kind of got to wrangle. You got to wrangle. Clearly, his wife had left him in charge of school lunches, hence he was at the bakery instead of making lunch at home. Much to my amusement, his youngster was eating a nectarine and then proceeded to drop it on the floor. I watched it as it rolled under the counter to the devastation of the... Oh, no. And tears soon followed. Oh, Tom turned to me and said, when it rains, it pours. As the father of three myself, I understood his pain. He then said, come on, kids, let's go. And he hustled the little whippersnappers out of the bakery and into the car.
I mean, three kids under eight. What the fuck are you thinking? Oh. I suppose you get it all out of the way, but god damn, that would be incredibly ridiculous.
Oh, dude, three under eight would be, I mean, we're speaking as two childless people. But yes.
They were very happy.
But I own a lot of basements. But the the three under eight is like, people would be mocking you right now. Like, they'd be going like, dude, I had three, like, under 1.5, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's easy?
No, no. Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, 3 under 8 is, like, okay.
Doable.
But, like, no, I don't know. I'm not even putting anything. I'm saying it's the kids are always greener on the other side. I don't know what that means.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But, yeah. Rolling on a thing. Yeah, fuck, man. I haven't had that kind of nectarine roll. I haven't had that kind of devastation. A friend of mine last year very kindly bought me like the good earbuds, like the expensive ones, like the $300 ones as a gift.
Yeah.
And I don't think
AirPods.
I don't think I've told them this, but like the heartbreak when they were really good and one of them fell off and rolled under the fridge at a bottle shop, and I was like, I just got to leave that man behind. I can't. I'm not
really. You didn't ask him to get like a ruler or something to tap it back out.
No, we tried that. We tried that, but then after about a minute, okay, I was like, "I'm not going to be on my hands and knees looking under a fridge at a bottle shop, trying to find something." Yeah. From Tim, I was recently flying from Brisbane to Melbourne on a Thursday and popped into the Virgin Lounge. Yes, I'm doing moderately well. So too it seems the Lions, an already busy lounge. The Lions team arrived, fanned out in what appeared to be a premeditated pattern, and descended upon the buffet. It was like witnessing a 10-year-old's party at a Sizzler steak and salad bar. That is, audible enthusiasm, poor plate management, and reckless portion control.
Love it.
Now, do you get to the Virgin Lounge much at all? Like, what kind of stuff do they offer? Do you know?
So the last time I was in the lounge, it was on the way to Gather Round, and it was kind of the breakfast time. So it was just sort of more like cold cuts and things like that. Like, I don't remember it being like the good old days where there were meals that you could just slop around.
You know what? If I actually looked forward on the next line, it tells us what they get.
Okay.
As it was between main meals, the choice was limited to pre-made sandwiches, cheese, crackers and fruit. The team seemed prefer the sandwiches. As the father of young boys, I took some pleasure in watching their enthusiastic appetites and excited chatter. As a Blues fan, I felt some resentment towards their appearance of general upward mobility. A very attractive woman from the Brisbane entourage was sitting close to Charlie Cameron, who was also very attractive at close range. I imagine I could feel some
frisson from several meters away.
Joe Danaher appeared surprisingly skinny. Oh, you could almost say feeble. Huh. Well, he hadn't had his fucking sandwiches yet, had he?
Yeah, well, exactly.
When they all up and left, there were a lot of half-eaten plates of food and half-finished drinks. 2 days later, they beat North by 75 points. No moral to the story, I guess. You know what I reckon, though? Like, I reckon if they're on a trip and they get a bit of a moment to kind of gorge, you know, like a teenage boy kind of thing, go to the fridge, just fill your head. I reckon that's what footballers would be like. They're like, I'm just going to get it all in, and then we go from there.
Yeah, but do you reckon like every time? Like Brisbane would fly week in, week out, you know? So every second week, do you reckon they're just going, oh, fuck yeah, party time in the Virgin Lounge.
Yep.
Surely, if you're a Lockie Neal, you've done it that many times. You played in Freo, you played for Brisbane. You're always on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Does he need another sanger?
Well, he'd be the kind of guy who'd be like, you know, just kind of, you know, weighing his food and stuff like that. But I reckon the younger blokes just be like, you know.
Oh, mate.
See food. We'll eat food. Yeah. From Michael. Riding in from the land of the sacred footbridge. I've had a few footballer, or in brackets, footballer adjacent sightings in real life during my time listening to your podcast, such as seeing Crows coach Matthew Nix carrying a Newton's cradle in the mall. Newton's cradle.
Let's just assume it's some sort of baby capsule type thing.
Do you want to Google that while I read? In the mall. I mean, what mall? We can't think of any mall, can we? Or Eric Hipwood going for a stroll through the city the day before an away game. But none of these seem worthy of submitting to your award-winning segment of their own. After our recent discussion about football players on flights, I realised that I do have a story perhaps worthy of contributing. I've ended up on a few flights with the Port team in recent years and can confirm the rucks and key position players are often given the emergency exit seats. Very interesting. Though this particular football in real life is from the dusty archives of the late 90s, more specifically around September 1998. I was 10 years old at the time, coming home from a family trip to Malaysia, obliged to say we were doing very well for ourselves when adjusted for inflation. While killing time in Kuala Lumpur Airport, I spotted what looked to be the entire Port Adelaide squad, presumably on their way home from an end-of-season trip. Despite being a Port fan, I decided against approaching them, as I would have had very little of interest to say to a group of grown men, and I'm sure they appreciated not being asked about their favourite Pokemon was, or whether they thought The Undertaker or Kane were really brothers. Well, I mean, they're not brothers in real life, obviously.
Continue on.
However, as we headed through the concourse to our gate, I spotted an Australian passport on the floor. When I picked it up, I noticed it belonged to none other than 1993 Brownlow medalist and then Port captain Gavin Wanganeen. Holy fuck. So I threw the passport in the garbage and he was locked in jail. No, the playing group was about 100 metres ahead of us, so I quickly ran up to him, Located Gavin, and gave him his passport. After he thanked me, I'm pretty sure I just shyly ran back to my family without saying any more. I have no idea what he must have thought about the whole thing, or what would have happened to him at border security had I not found and returned his passport. The players ended up being on the same Malaysia Airlines flight home as us, hopefully enjoying the laggy Nintendo emulators built into the personal headrest TVs, with a suitcase full of pirated movies and counterfeit soccer tops. Like I said, doing very well for ourselves. What a fucking story.
Thank you, Michael. And a Newton's Cradle is one of those, you know, those ball clacking things that you hit one end and then the ball clacks at the other one.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Ah,
gotcha. Finally, someone bringing a bit of culture to Rundle Mall.
Absolutely. So good to see the Port Adelaide players. I don't know if I've ever told this on the... I think I'd forgotten about it. I ran into the Port Adelaide players in Koh Samui, I reckon, on their end-of-season trip in about October, I'm going to say 2008.
Okay.
And I just ran into them at a bar and I was like, I saw Chad Corns and was like, oh, you know, I work on Before the Game. I know who you are and stuff. And then just hung around and had drinks with those boys for the night.
Dude, you've had a couple encounters with footballers overseas.
Yes, we can't talk about the other one.
No, I'm not going to bring up the other one, but like, fuck man, like you kind of, it's kind of like your calling card, like you kind of bump into...
Man. You know what, I think that's the virtue of, because I work in the football season, so my...
Your getaway time.
...season
yeah.
coincides with theirs.
Sure. Your Mad Monday is more one person as opposed to,
yes,
you know, 45 yeah. people in dress-ups and... driving,
yeah, it's
you know,
just me. Me betting on the animated greyhounds dressed in a clown outfit for no reason.
Yeah, and weirdly, it's just a weird quirk of the calendar, but like your birthday falls on every Mad Monday when you got like a cupcake with one candle and a TAB going, yeah. Happy birthday to me. Hey, are we going to hit the road? We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Your hooks.
Ah, fuck.